This podcast's only purpose is for informational use. It is not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Investing in the market is risky, and past performance is not indicative of future results. In this episode, I talk with Tanya Schultz about starting your own personal finance money journey. I've been digging too deep. Welcome back to another episode of the 2 Cents 20-Year-Old Podcast, the podcast where I talk about the things that you should be thinking about when it comes to your money. Today's episode is a very exciting one. I got the chance to talk to Tanya Schultz from themoneylifecoach.com about her own personal finance journey. And we basically went over the basics and laid out the groundwork for anyone who is looking to start becoming more serious about their finances. Like I said, Tanya is a money coach who is focused less on the side of judgment and ridicule when it comes to personal finance, and more so on supporting and looking to build confidence in the people who reach out to her for help. Tanya hasn't always been a coach, though. She has previously felt the negative effects of debt and not being able to keep track of your expenses. She eventually turned to learning and being interested in personal finance and correcting her path to financial stability. Check her out on TikTok at Tanya Schultz and on her website, themoneylifecoach.com, where she has a blog and personal finance course and so many other helpful things. Today's episode with Tanya Schultz, our newest 98 Cent Club member, starts now. Hey, Tanya, thank you so much for taking the time. This is awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So before we go into any of the big questions, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. Well, my name's Tanya, and I go by the Money Life Coach on social media. And I coach women and men to become financially independent and financially empowered. So what that means is, like, so many of us aren't taught the basics of personal finance. And, you know, I work with a lot of clients in their late 20s, early 30s who are like, I'm making good money, but I don't know where my money's going, and they've never budgeted before. So I really help them organize their finances and also just create goals and set goals and see where they want to be in their life.
That's awesome. Yeah. At what point did you decide you're like, maybe I want to actually help people with their money journey aside from just my own? Because with me, obviously, you know, I'm still like at that weird phase in your life where it's like, is money super important right now? Should I be focusing on it as much as I am, like, personally right now? So at what point were you like, maybe I will actually help other people with their money and be a money coach?
Well, I think you are helping people by having a podcast. Yeah. Actually, you know, just sharing your information on social media is helping people. So for me personally, it was my own personal journey of becoming debt-free. And, you know, I never thought in a million years I'd be coaching people on money, or that was even going to be a thing. But through my journey of paying off my debt, I was super inspired by how it made me feel, because I knew I was in that debt cycle for so long, and so many people that I knew were. And I'm like, now that I know, understand how to do it, like, I want to be able to teach people as well.
Mm. So when did you actually start your personal finance journey? Like, was it around the age of 18? Was it 20? Was it 30? Like at what point was it where you're like, this is the time where I take it more seriously? It's more serious. There's more different parts, like investing, saving money. So at what point in your life did you make that decision?
I think all throughout my adult life, I've worked since I was young, since as soon as I could be working to make my own money. So I've been super conscious of my spending and paying my bills on time and this and that. But I think it wasn't really until like my early 30s was I like, okay, I just feel like I'm not getting ahead right now. Like, I'm not able to save money. I'm just kind of getting by, living paycheck to paycheck. And I'm trying to understand why. And I feel like, yeah, it wasn't until then was I really, like, my early 30s was I like, I should have figured this out by now. Like, what's going on? I can't just, you know, make it up as I go anymore. Mm-hmm. I need to get serious.
Yeah. From my personal experience, it started out with me working. I started working when I was like 15, and I wasn't as serious as taking my money and putting it in a savings account. I just simply wasn't spending it. I was making money, and, you know, it wasn't a lot of money. I was working like 1, 2, 3 shifts a week. But I just wasn't spending that money. I think for me, it was that natural savings ability where it was like, I would make money. I didn't feel the urge to spend it at all. Was that at all similar with you?
Yeah, I think there's two personality types with money, and like, one's the spender, one's the saver. And I'm naturally, I won't say like I was super focused on saving, but I was super money conscious. Like I said, paying my bills on time and stuff like that. But, and I, you know, I had to live on my own and pay my own bills since for a pretty like young age. So I was always looking to, I knew I had to be focused on how much money I was bringing in. But yeah, I will say I just didn't get to like that point where I was like, I just feel like I'm kind of like not getting any further. I'm just paying off bills every month and I'm not able to save like I want to. And that's kind of what really propelled me to like figure this out.
That's interesting that you say that, because it does kind of make sense. Like if you were to talk to, you know, 25 people, all their stories are going to be different. But I think it stems from kind of the same thing where it's like frustration about them not being able to get ahead or get any traction with their expenses. And for me personally, and most of my listeners, we skew on the younger side. So it's like 18 to 23 to maybe late 20s. So this, at this point, for me at least, my expenses are fairly low, but I do have like a car payment. I have student loans that I try to pay off every month. So, you know, having to put money into expenses like that, I am familiar with it, but you know, I don't have a mortgage. I don't have rent, stuff like that. So when people my age go to live on their own, is it going to be like that drench of cold water where it's like, whoa, okay, so this car payment is stretching me a little bit. These student loans aren't as easy to pay off every month because now I have, you know, $1,000 rent every month. So like you said, you were living on your own. Was that kind of a drench of cold water for you when you started living on your own? Because you realized like the expenses build on top of each other.
Yeah. I mean, I was always like, I tried to live with like roommates and try to make my cost of living super low to be able to do what I wanted to do also in my life and travel and do the things I wanted to do. But I think it is, there is a wake up call with like, and it's so easy to go into debt. And that's what I focus on, because like debt is so common in our society that it's very like, here's a credit card, you know, spend money everywhere you look now, you're inundated. So for me, I started using credit cards in between paychecks, in between getting paid. And then I started relying on them too much. And that's where a lot of people get in trouble. And that's where I personally was getting in trouble. And I think that's what happens with a lot of, I think your generation is like definitely more conscious of it in a way, because you're seeing the impacts of the credit card debt and things that are going on. But for so long, it's just like, oh, I can make payments, like the payment mentality, which I talk about a lot. Like I can make the payment so I can afford it. When it's like, I like to try to tell you, especially with cars, you know, a car is a depreciating asset. It's not an investment. So it's like knowing those things is really important.
Not to mention whatever interest rate you have on the loan, because that is what people see, is that monthly expense, like $300. I can make that payment of $300, but it's like when it's your first time buying a car and the interest rate is 13%, like you don't really factor all that in, plus the bump in insurance, plus the down payment, all that stuff. So I especially with cars, I think that is one of the bigger things people my age have trouble with, is because, you know, everyone wants a new car when you're 20. Why not? But it is really like one of those things where if you're thinking about getting a new car, there is so many different things you have to think about. And also with what you said with like the credit card debt, I think that my generation has the benefit of actually looking to people like you, and we have the benefit of social media in general, who are telling us like these things can be dangerous, but they can also be used as a tool. Like there's just so much information that we're getting because of the benefit of social media. And you know, some people maybe might not take advantage of that, but I think most see the detriment of debt and just stuff like that. But so tell us a little bit about what it's like being a money coach and what gave you the inspiration to help people get better with their money in general.
It's awesome being a money coach. I love it so much. I love being able to help people and give back in this way. And it, for me, it's, I feel so strongly that it is my passion and my purpose. In a lot of ways, I've had previous careers. I was in the snowboard industry for a long time. I was a writer. I still am a writer. I still write a lot. But it's interesting how like things play out in your life and like how my journey led me to coaching. So I really feel, I just felt this really big pull to be able to help people and show them the basics of budgeting, you know, like something so simple, but that is your foundation of personal finance and that can help you really be able to get ahead financially. So I love it. And I think what inspired me the most was one of the things that really pushed me to pay off my debt so fast and to become debt free and really live that lifestyle was the Dave Ramsey show, and listening to people's stories on his show of people paying off debt, people who were making less than me, had a lot more debt than me. And like hearing these stories over and over, and you're like, if they could do it, like I can do it too. You know what I mean? I
feel
you have to see enough people that have been able to overcome what you've overcome to like do it. So yeah, for me, that was super inspiring.
Yeah. I think that is a good point, that it's a lot easier when you see someone who's kind of in a similar situation and they're doing it. So it's like, why not you? Why can't you do it? But I think that was a good point with the budgeting. I think that could be one of the crucial stepping stones for people who are just getting into personal finance. Because like you said, it's relatively easy. It's not hard to understand. You know, you set up a budget, you could write it on a piece of paper, and you just have to stick to it as much as possible. But I try to say that, you know, it doesn't have to be that black and white. You can go easy on yourself a little bit. You shouldn't beat yourself up, but that should be a standard that you stick to. Because with money, people often take it really seriously, which they should, but it turns into maybe, a source of anxiety and stuff like that. And it shouldn't turn into that. It's supposed to be a safety net. It's supposed to give you insurance in your life. But yeah, I just thought that was a really good point, because that's one of the things that I tell people is like, just start out budgeting. You know, investing is kind of a little bit more complex. You have to kind of understand the market. You got all this type of stuff. Budgeting is simple. You have the money, you save the money. That's really all it is.
Yeah. And I always tell people to focus on one thing at a time. That's where I was going wrong for so long. And that's something that I really want people to focus on too. It's like, I was trying to pay off debt, save for this, invest in that, trying to do too many things at once. And I feel like, okay, get your budget in place, get good at budgeting. Like your one of the number one life skills is going to help you by understanding how to budget your money. And then saving up that emergency fund, or at least a mini emergency fund, paying down debt as much as possible. So focusing on one thing at a time, and even paying off one debt at a time, really focused, really helps you. You know how it is when you're multitasking, trying to do too many things at once. You're like, you never get the things done.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Always. That's the best advice, is like, focus on one thing at a time, mm-hmm. and put your foundation in place first, yeah. with that budget, and see where your money is going. Because, you know, the majority of people don't budget and wonder like, I'm making all this money and where is it going?
So you did mention the Dave Ramsey show a little bit. And I think his big thing is like the debt avalanche versus debt snowball, right?
It's debt snowball.
Oh, okay. Cause I thought there was two different things, and they were just, it was dependent on the interest rates of whatever debt that you had. So have you used that in the past, the debt snowball? Because I've tried wrapping my head around it. It obviously makes sense. You know, it's fairly simple. That's what it's for. But I personally just think of it as like task one, task two. For me personally, I have car loans. The car loans that I have an okay interest rate. It's like 5% or something like that. And then with my student loans, obviously it's zero, because they're not private. So I'm still continually paying off my student loans. And then with my car loans, I'm paying an extra $100 of principal every month. But with the debt snowball, have you ever used that? And would you actually suggest people who have no experience paying down debt, would you suggest them to use that?
Definitely. Because what the debt snowball is listing out all your debts from smallest to largest, not focusing on the APR so much. Although I will say, well, most people, their biggest debt is student loans. So I guess I could say this in this situation, but like, so yeah, you list out your debts smallest to largest. So your first debt might be 500, your next one's 2000, your next one's 10,000. You put as much money as you can on your smallest debt, and you pay minimums on the rest. Mm. So this helps you still do that focus on one debt at a time, but it also gives you like small wins along the way. Because when I had like a bunch of different debts, I was trying to make an extra payment here, you know, extra money on each debt, but then none of them are ever gone. So I feel like it really helps you stay focused. And that's what I did. I got my budget like super dialed in. And I knew I could live super frugally temporarily. Like, and that's what it's good to emphasize too. Like, so many people have this mentality like, well, I'm going to pay off debt forever. I'm going to have my student loans forever. Well, yeah, if you think that way, then you probably are. But it's like, let's actually put this down on paper? Like, what's the timeline? Is this a 2-year, 5-year? And then what does it look like if you make a little bit extra payment on that? Mm-hmm. Can you pay it? I think like you got to pay down your debts like as fast as possible. Personally, like that's what I teach, because I know the feeling of debt holding me back and feeling like I wasn't getting ahead because I had debt. So that's really what I try to emphasize to people is, being debt-free really is like free. It is a freeing and an amazing feeling. And the debt snowball really helps people focus on one debt at a time. So.
Yeah. Cause it, you know, there's just something about being able to check things off like a list, like with your debts, if you're able to check them off along the way and not just keep distributing money into smaller buckets and not being able to actually catch up on any of them, it's super beneficial to actually be able to see progress, because that way you stick to it. You know, it's the same thing with budgeting. It might be tough for some people because they can't like spend that money. There's not that instant gratification, but I mean, it really is all about the mindset. But with that being said, being a money coach, what are some of the most common issues that you find yourself helping people with? So what are some of the most common issues that people say, you know, this is what's holding me back, this is what I'm stressed about, this is what I'm actually focused on for the future?
Well, it's a range of things. I will say the people that I work with do have a lot of debt and do want to be investing, but they feel like they don't have money to invest because they have all these debts to pay off. So, and they just don't know where their money is going. Like I said, they've never budgeted before. They don't even have an idea of like how much money they're spending on food a month. And so I make them look at all those things. You know, a lot of people, when they have a lot of debt too, there's this guilt that comes along with it. And they feel like, you know, guilty for having all this money that they have to pay off. It's like, let's get out of the guilt and like, look at what you have, face it. You know what I mean? Face the money that you have to pay and then see it clearly so that you can focus on a plan to pay it off. Cause like, otherwise it's just like the thing you're avoiding. The longer you avoid something, it's going to keep like, I mean, debt's not going to go away unless you file bankruptcy. So it's like, unless, you know what I mean? Like get yourself into debt. Now you got to focus and get yourself out. So
yeah, because people, you know, some people just push it on the back burner. They don't want to actually look it in the eye and tackle it because it is, you know, it's scary. And like I said, I don't have enormous debt, so I don't have a lot of experience, but I can, you know, I'm empathetic to people that do, because that must be just horrifying, waking up in the morning and being like, oh, I still have this on my back that I can't get rid of. But I think that is part of the journey, is obviously looking it in the eye and just knowing that you're going to get rid of it eventually if you work on it.
And accountability is like big with coaching, right? So it's like a lot of people don't, you know, money is still a taboo topic to talk about, even with friends and family. Like, how much money do you make? What do you think about this? Like, it's a very sensitive topic. So I feel like where a coach comes in is I'm able to be that like sounding board for people who, you know, don't even tell their closest family like things that are going on with their money because they feel guilty or bad about it. So I'm able to like be that support for them and then hold them accountable to doing their budget, to setting their goals and making them happen, and just helping them, give them some hope for their situation. Because I'm like, I've done this too. You can do it too, you know?
And they have to be honest, because I mean, being a money coach, like if they're not going to be honest with you, then it's never going to go away. And like, that's what you're trying to do, is help them. You're trying to keep them honest. That's what you're there for, is to hear them out and then work with them.
Yeah. And not, and be that sounding board, like I said. So it's like, I'm not judging them. And some of these people have never even told, like I said, they can't even tell people how much money they have in debt, or they're scared to, and they really do want to be able to invest in, it's about that long-term investing in that long-term mindset, like, and getting out of that payment mentality, like I said, is like, not thinking like, how much money can I afford this month? It's like, what are my long-term goals? Like, so many people don't think long-term when it comes to their finances. And that's where that payment mentality comes in. It's like, I can make a payment, so it's fine, until it's not fine.
Exactly. Exactly. And you mentioned earlier that you like to travel and stuff like that. And that is one of the things that some people don't get, is that if you save money, because you know, people my age, they like to make money and spend it, obviously. Like, I've had TikToks where the comments are like 50-50, people saying, well, why are you investing right now? You know, I'd rather spend the money. You know, I'm going to have the money when I'm 65, whatever. And you know, if you want to travel, that could be part of your budget. That could be your focus with your budget is maybe you just won't have a nicer car. Maybe you'll have a smaller house. Maybe you won't eat out, but you'll spend that money on traveling. Like there's just so many different ways you can go about it. And it's pertinent to your own ambitions and what you want to do. It's the same thing with investing. For me personally, that's how I see it at least.
Yeah. I mean, you're already seeing like the long-term, like you already understand that long-term like mindset. And people do think like, oh, if I budget, that means I'm not going to have any fun. And I'm not going to, because they think of it as like, it's going to be something hard, but a budget actually gives you freedom mm-hmm. because when you're seeing your money every day, like I said, I help people budget in what they want to, whether that's like traveling, going out to eat. And I don't try to make people take that away from them. You know, I help people just really get focused. Like, is this what you want to be spending your money on? Or would you like pay off this debt first? And then we'll focus on getting a new car or traveling. But yeah, a lot of people are just like you said, I want to have fun now, yeah. Which is how we kind of see social media. A lot of people on social media just in this fake way kind of sometimes. So it's not always reality. And, you know, when you know the statistics of 76% of people living paycheck to paycheck, you realize all that stuff that you see is made up because a lot of the people, 8 out of 10 people don't have the money to the next payday, which is something else that also makes me want to help people.
Yeah. I mean, that is definitely my intention. Like I said, my audience skews kind of younger. So my intention is just to get the conversation started for people my age, because, you know, it's better to make a TikTok and have 50% of the viewers be like, you have no idea what you're talking about. Why would I want to start investing now? It's better to start it now. You know, if they're 18 saying that, they have however many years to maybe eventually get to that point where they're like, okay, maybe he had a point. Maybe I should start thinking about it. You know, but so speaking of TikTok, when did you find TikTok and when did you decide maybe this is actually a good place for me to get people talking about money and to get people on my website and using me as a money coach? When did you find it and when did you decide to use it?
Yeah, so I found it, you know, several years ago when TikTok came out. My nephew, who was I think 7 or 8 at the time, was all about it. And I was like, what is this new app? Like, oh gosh. So I was seeing his videos and then, but you know, obviously not really doing anything with it. And then last year, like when coronavirus happened and everything, everyone was going to TikTok and everyone was talking about it. And so I started looking at it more then, but it wasn't until October where I had been on Instagram for a while, been building my community there. And I'm just like, you know what? This isn't gaining as much traction as I'd like. Like, I'm just going to try TikTok and see what happens. And I, you know, took a mini course and started. And actually another friend of mine, she has over 100,000 followers now, but oh, wow. She kept messaging me like, you need to be on TikTok. And she just does dancing. And like, really, she's like, I'm not even doing anything. Like, I just do it for fun. Like do it as an outlet. Cause I'm bored, but like I'm doing this growth and I'm seeing your niche. And like, you could really, she kept like nudging me. So I was like, okay. And so I'm like, I'm just going to try it. So I spent 2 days like learning it basically. And then just trying stuff. And instantly I was like, whoa, okay. I'm getting like a lot of traction.
You've blown up. How many followers are you at right now?
Almost 40,000.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible.
Since October, end of October.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's massive growth.
Yeah. I'm about 10,000 a month, which is insane. And it's not just that, it is that part of bringing my business in and building my email list, which I think is so important. And so I'm driving people to my website, like the people who are really interested in coaching. Obviously I create content just for fun and just to educate people, and whoever finds me, but like driving people to my products and my courses and stuff like that, through TikTok. And it's been, yeah, I've been getting people like weekly, and just my email list has grown probably 5,000 people.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's insane.
Literally, that's where I have all my listeners from is TikTok. Like I have maybe 3 or 4 videos that have blown up, and that's literally every listener that I've ever had is from TikTok. And that's one of the reasons why I started making content on TikTok, was because, you know, you need to get the word out there about your product. And my product is my podcast, And the only way to get people to listen to it is to get people to see your content and then click on that link, just like with you in your course and your website.
Yeah. And you're doing such a great job. Like, I really love what you're doing. You're super creative. Yeah. I just think you're doing it in a way where it's super authentic and, like, you know, not so copycat. Like some people do, obviously some of TikTok, what I love about it is that you can copy people and still, it's not like on Instagram where you're like, someone copied my exact post, you know, like TikTok's like, who cares? You're supposed to copy people.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's fun. You know, like when social media is fun and creating content is fun, like that's what it should be. It shouldn't be this hard thing that you're having to do.
Yeah. And that's funny that you say that, because I had one of the, well, my most popular video with, I think it's around like 100,000 likes and a million views. I had a couple of other creators pretty much take it word for word, and they were much bigger than me. They had like 100,000 followers, and this one girl took in, she got like 6 million views on it. And I, at first, obviously I was like, oh, that's kind of annoying. But I was, then I like thought about it and I was like, I don't think it's really that serious. Like, I don't need to worry about it that much. I'm not going to comment, be like, yo, where's my credit? Like, I wasn't going to be angry about it. Like, it's not that big of a deal, but I definitely understand what you're saying about the copying on TikTok. But I do also understand what you're saying with the, that's what it's for, because, you know, obviously I try to make my content as original as possible, but sometimes it's a little bit tough when you're trying to post twice, three times a day. And, you know, that's what the duet feature is for. That's what the stitch feature is for. But I do think that that's what makes TikTok awesome, is that you can make your own original stuff, but then you can also collab with people like we're doing right now. Like, the only reason why we're having this conversation is literally TikTok. So
it's just a totally different audience from Instagram too. And I thought it was like, I basically was in my head for so long. I was like, it's just the same thing as Instagram. Like, I kind of, until I started really understanding TikTok, and I'm like, no, this is like way different. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot more creativity going on, and freedom. And I feel like that authenticity of like seeing who people really are and getting to know them, that sometimes you don't see on Instagram.
Was it frustrating on Instagram? Because I don't have an Instagram page for my my podcast, because obviously I've used Instagram since I was in like sixth grade, maybe. So it's been a long time. And I just don't see the potential growth that like is possible on TikTok. So I haven't really bothered, because I feel like with Instagram, you need to redirect your audience to your page. And it's like, it's a lot more effort than TikTok, because TikTok finds the people for you. But so was that frustrating for you with the Instagram? Is that why you switched to TikTok?
Yeah. And I'm still like, I'm actually repurposing TikToks on Instagram and finding really good success, and still doing stories and some posting there, because I do have a following. But I was finding that like the people, and I grew, you know, I'm about at almost 3,000 followers, which is decent on Instagram. But
that's awesome. That's awesome on Instagram.
Yeah. So I was, it's just, it's, yeah, like you said, people have to find you through 30 hashtags. It's just a lot more work. Yeah. It's a lot more work on Instagram. And they're always changing different features. There's so many ads. I was getting so annoyed by like so many ads that you're seeing. Just, it's a lot of pressure, and it's really, you have to really be like posting original content.
Have you tried Reels? I've never even tried it.
Yeah, I was doing Reels. So like I had started doing Reels, and that's where my friend on TikTok was like, you should just be doing this on TikTok.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so I started Reels, and I was seeing like pretty good traction and growth on that as well. And then I'm like, well, if I could just do the same thing on TikTok and then repost them, I'm just going to kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't understand the, I didn't understand if it was like kind of a For You page type thing on Instagram too, where it was like you had that organic reach. So I haven't tried Reels either. Or personally, you've tried Reels, but I don't know. I have a personal Instagram, obviously, and I have some listeners find me there, which is, you know, I don't put my personal Instagram out there. So when they find me, it's like, oh, what's up? And they'll DM me and they're like, I love the podcast. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that you knew how to find me. But yeah, I mean, I've yet to use Reels, but I think I might eventually, but I have no idea.
I think you should just repost. If you can leverage ones you're already posting and repost there, like at least once a day, I mean, you have so much content already, you could download and repost. Yeah. That's what I've seen people do. And it is driving people from, you know, my Instagram's linked on TikTok. People who then are like, I want to learn more about this person. Like, then you kind of know that those could be potential clients or customers for you. If they're going to come find you, they want to know more about you. And then, you know, those are the people who are also going to go to your website and like see what you're about to see if you like want to invest.
Yeah. I mean, that's so true, because when I'm not like creeped out, when people find my Instagram, I literally love it. I'm like, oh my God, that's so hilarious that they found my Instagram and decided to DM me to compliment my podcast. I love that. And, you know, I'll have a conversation with them for however long. And that's just one of the great things about building that community, especially the personal finance community, because it can be toxic at times, but it can also be really welcoming and warm and all these people that want to learn. And I think those type of people tend to drown out the toxic people, because, you know, the toxic people, maybe they'll comment and they'll get a lot of likes, but in the end, it's like people really want to learn and they'll stick around if they want to learn. So, I have a couple more questions for you. If you were talking to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell her?
Ooh, I think the investing piece, opening up like the Roth IRAs that you talk about a lot, is something I definitely would have been paying more attention to. Utilizing compound interest and doing my best to like understand compound interest and long-term investing. And having that long-term mindset, I think you're doing it like so right and teaching people the right way. But it's like, hey, if you can you should be able to afford $200, $300 a month, especially when your expenses are low.
And disposable income. Like pretty much your income is completely disposable at my age. So it's like, you don't have that mortgage, you don't have those kids, you don't have that dog, you know, vet bill, whatever. So it's like, when your income is disposable like that, maybe investing should be a priority. That's just what I think personally. But
yeah, no, it's like, I mean, you've seen the graphs and you've seen what happens when you invest early. So it's like, even if you start investing early 20s, I'm going to say this like $300-$500 a month or whatever it is, for 10 years or even 5 years, if you stop investing, that money grows so much. Like the makeup, having to make up money when you turn late 30s, early 30s, whatever it is, you have just had to put so much more money in to get to where you could be if you just did it like early on, especially mm-hmm. when you make that a part of your line item in your budget. So like knowing that, and you know, the thing that people are saying about, well, am I not going to spend this money till I'm 65? That's not necessarily true, because I think you wrote about this the other day. It's like, you can pull that money out if you need to early. There's taxes associated. But then once you're able to max out your Roth, you should have a separate brokerage account where you're putting money in. Like I have, you know, I invest 20% of my income now a year, which is my goal. And obviously I max out my Roth pretty quickly. So like now I have a brokerage account. So like I will be able to technically like embed or retire early. And I have brokerage account where I don't have to worry about the stuff that comes with retirement accounts. Yeah. So you can start pulling that money out. Like if you want to buy a house in 10, 15 years, your brokerage account, then you have a chunk of money sitting there.
Mm-hmm. And for student loans and stuff like that, college expenses, there's so much stuff that comes with the more, in particular, Roth IRA that some people, you know, it is a lot. Like learning everything about a Roth IRA is kind of complex, because there's tax stuff and then there's early withdrawal rules, and there's just so much cool stuff that you can learn about a Roth IRA and how it benefits you. But so what does the future look like for you? This could be financially, this could be personal life. I know that you love snowboarding, and I think you're in Colorado, right?
I'm in Lake Tahoe.
Oh, Lake Tahoe. So yeah. So what does it look like for you?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, my goal is just to help as many people as possible. Like I say, like millions and millions of people through what I'm teaching. And of course, I want to write a book. I have a book that's in my head and started to write out more courses. So more money courses that I want to do on all kinds of different things, and just growing a community of like-minded people who want to live debt-free and have like long-term wealth, you know, like, and it's so important to think like, what do I want my legacy to be? Like, what do I want to leave? Like when all this is said and gone, because one thing we know for sure, 100% going to happen is we're all going to die. So what's like the legacy I want to leave behind, or the legacy I want to leave when I'm older? Like, who do I want to impact? Part of my mission is giving 10% of my income away. So, and I would have never been able to do that if I didn't become debt free. Cause I was so like, I don't even have $10 to give to somebody, you know, like let alone 10% of my income. So it's like, yeah, hiring people, helping people less fortunate than me, being able to give back and really making that a part of what you do. I feel like that's something that should be a focus of what everybody's doing. And I think that's definitely a focus of what you're doing, is just sharing information with people that they might not know, or they might've heard somewhere, but like they can hear it differently through you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It might take a couple of times, it might take 4 or 5 times until they're like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and having my house on Lake Tahoe, one of my biggest goals. I'm across the street right now, so I'm pretty close, but.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. Being able to travel more and have my house on Lake Tahoe and just like build wealth and give back.
I love it. I love it. All right. So is there anything that you want to plug? Maybe your TikTok, maybe your website, anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. If you're not following me on TikTok, it's at Tanya Schultz, or you can look up The Money Life Coach. So TawnyaSchultz. And then I have my website, themoneylifecoach.com, which has my free budget sheet. It's the same budget I use to pay off $28,000 of debt in 8 months. So it's the same budget that I teach my clients. And then I also have a money course, so personal finance, budgeting, and money mindset course on my website as well.
That's awesome. All right, Tanya, well, thank you so much for taking the time. This has been great. And I'm definitely going to plug everything that you have, because I love your content. I love what you're putting out. You're obviously one of my favorite pages, because I try to interact with you as much as possible. And yeah, this has been great. It's one of my favorite episodes that I've made.
Oh, same. I'm so excited to connect more and talk again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. What an incredible time I had talking with Tanya. We've been interacting on TikTok for quite a while, and it was finally time for her to get on the podcast. She brought some great knowledge and advice that I definitely took a lot from. Like I said in the episode, she's one of my favorite creators and makes personal finance fun and lighthearted. If you want more from Tanya, check her out on TikTok at Tanya Schultz, as well as YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. She also has her website, themoneylifecoach.com. Thank you guys so much for listening and checking out Tanya. This was an awesome episode, and I will see you next week.